You've heard Luke's 12 verses about the resurrection, the first bit he tells about it, and you've seen it. Now, this man Luke is a serious historian. He sets up his book with some classic Greek to say, I am a serious man. I have done my research, and this is the report based on all the things I've heard from people who saw it, or people who heard from people who saw it. And I just want to ask a few questions. First of all, what happened? What is the story that Luke is actually telling here? What is the event that it's all based around? And this is a question for anyone from 8 upwards. What happened? Divya? Yes, I'm picking on you. Placina? Benjamin? What happened? What's the story about? What happened? What was the reality or the event? The empty grave. That's actually what this is about. What it means and things that happened around it are secondary. But this is a story about, a few days ago, we put the body of Jesus in there, and today we come, and he's not there. And that is really what this Sunday is about, the empty grave. He is not here, that bit. Now, and the explanation that is given for why he is not here by the two men in this telling is he's not here because he's risen. He's not dead anymore, so he doesn't belong in a grave. He has come out. Now, there's nothing said here about the resurrection itself, and there's nothing told anywhere about the resurrection moment. It's not, no one saw it, no one is able to tell that part of a story. The first part of a story is the tomb is empty. He's not here. Now, that is a very, very simple story, isn't it? One of the earliest games that we learned to play, apparently, about age 1, 1.5, is peekaboo. You see it? You don't see it. You see it? You don't see it. I'm not trying to make light of it, but it's part of that. We put it there, and he's not there. So now I want to ask three questions. Really? It really means yes or no. Can I believe this, or can I not believe this? This is the story about the empty grave. Was the body in there, or was Jesus not there? Now, I've got my pen here, and let's get a little bit interactive. Give me reasons why to believe this report that Jesus had been put in the grave 3 days later was not there. Some reasons to believe this. The same mind that you apply when you read the newspaper and you read something that's happened in your neighborhood. Reasons to believe it. Just bring them forward. It was predicted, okay? His death was witnessed. How does that connect with the fact that he wasn't in the grave? He was, that's right. So part A, he was in the grave, but it doesn't explain, help us trust this account that he's now not there. Okay, so you trust the witnesses. Excellent. First tick, and it's one of four witnesses we have. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there are other witnesses outside the Bible who at least witnessed to the story. He's not there. Next, another reason to believe. Great. So, there were people who would have liked to have faked this, or disproved it. and frankly, the body was never found. Okay. Let me give you some others. First of all, the story itself. It's specific. Time, names, where. It's not once upon a time. The surprise of those involved. Yes, it was predicted, but they didn't realize that on the day. They only worked that out when they went back and read their Hebrew scriptures and said, gosh, 600 years ago, look at this. Isaiah was talking about this. But on the day, nobody expected this. Nobody had in their mind the faintest idea that, you know what, we'll go to the grave and he just might not be there. They were totally surprised. Any other reasons for yes? We'll get to no in a minute. Try this one. The randomness of development. There's no structure or orchestration or organization at work. It's just a flow of events without any plan. One of my favorites is the women were reported as discovering this. Now, in the ancient world, if you want to really sell a story, don't put woman on the front page. Don't go there. Because a bit like in some parts of the world, it takes two women to have as much witness as one man. That's still current in some parts of the world. Shocking, isn't it? So in the ancient world, you don't have woman finding the fact that that everything depends on. And then next to that, it's so human, but the disciples didn't believe them. They didn't believe them. So within this community, within this group, it's women who are prominent, and the men don't believe it. That sounds so realistic. In 2,000 years, have we changed much? Some people have, some haven't. That has is what we call the ring of truth. No one would ever have imagined that. And lastly, as I mentioned, the body has never been found. If they had found an ossuary, that's a collection of bones, or a grave that said Yesu ben Yosef, everything would change. Oh, we've found the body. That has never happened. So this is only about the empty tomb. That's all I'm talking about. That one first day reported fact. Do you want to hear some reasons why not to believe it? Or the case that's built, why not? Well, try this for size. First of all, the woman went to the wrong tomb. Seriously. They were confused. They were upset. They went to the wrong tomb. Sorry? Okay, there was confusion over which tomb. How that happened? Secondly, an argument that's already been mentioned. The body was gone, yes, but it was stolen. Someone had got there first, rolled a stone away and taken it away. Then you have to ask if you're a detective, well, who would want to do that? It was to no one's benefit. Certainly not the religious authorities. The third reason people give not to believe it, that the disciples, that lot who stood over there, faked it. They made it look as if Jesus was no longer in the grave. The problem with that, many of you may know, what is the problem with that? The disciples faked it. They weren't that organized. is this feminist revenge here? Okay. And from the Gospels, there's a credible case. They were a bunch of bumblers, weren't they? You know, Peter is a fisherman swiping an ear off. I mean, you know, could they coordinate to pull something like this off. The other big reason is that half of them died for this story. So do you make up a story, fake it, and then right to the end of your life, hold and even give your life for it? Doesn't make sense. The next thing that's given as to why the grave wasn't empty, well, people just imagined it. It was all hallucination. But then we read about Thomas. There's a good skeptic. He wasn't going to believe just because the woman and the other 10 had told him. And then the last reason I'm aware of why not to believe it is, well, actually, he didn't die on the cross. He was in a bad state, but he went into the tomb alive. And in this lovely, cool stone here, he came back to himself after a day or so. There may be other reasons, you know, that people say you don't have to believe this report of the empty tomb. So what I'm establishing here is it's a story you can think about the same way you think about anything you believe. Let's ask a question. Xiang Ling, where is your car? It's a careful answer from Xiang Ling. You're legal trained, aren't you? She believes her car is outside. But right now, sitting where she is, she doesn't know. But the last time she saw it, it was outside. Who's had the experience of acting on that sort of faith and having a surprise with your car or your bike? Okay. This is a case where we have a first-hand report of something. So, that's the first question, is really, yes or no? And reasons either way. I find the reasons for yes convincing, if I just line them up. Next question. If the tomb really was empty, so assuming yes carries the day, the explanation, how was it empty? Now, the explanation that's given here by, in this, the messengers in dazzling clothes, is he's not here because he's risen. And the question is, does that hold? Is rising a believable explanation? Yes, no, why? So that's a commonly given answer. And all I'll say about that is that your empirical experience then is the sum of all reality. That's what you're saying, yes. And anything beyond your empirical experience cannot be entertained. Okay. Yes, because of Lazarus. So he'd been messing with death beforehand himself. Been building up to this. Okay. Someone might come back and say, yeah, but that's a story to back a story. Okay, now we move on. This is only the first 12 verses of Luke's account. The next story from verse 13 is about two people meeting him while walking to Emmaus. And then there are many other stories of people who met the risen Lord. So we have this first story, the empty tomb. We have the first explanation, he's risen. And then we have more witnesses who, as it were, confirm that reality. He's not in the tomb because we met him walking down the road. Or he's not in the tomb because we were locked up in a room and suddenly he was there. But remember, the very first fact on the ground is the tomb is empty. Any other arguments or facts for or views as to how believable this explanation of the tomb is empty because he has risen from it. He is alive again. Yes, no. Be brave. Kate. About what? Mm-hmm. So, but how does that cut into the explanation of he's risen? When you're in a hole, stop digging.
Well, I think like if he had been taken away, if the disciples had just removed him, then the authorities would have been just like, oh, okay, just take him. But they were also afraid that something like this, in the back of their minds, that this would happen. Because it had been, he'd been talking about it. It was foretold, so to speak.
So the case is the same as the disciples faked it, even though they supposedly weren't clever or organized enough to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Marie-Elaine, big voice, please. So that's at the level of the story rings. It has a ring of credibility or literature, literary credibility. It all comes back to witnesses. It all comes back to people reporting the grave is empty. I've seen him. And then considering all the reasons that are given for not believing that. Okay, let's move on. The last question. What does this mean? So we move from trying to establish the reality, the facts, applying the same sort of skills that historians do to anything else in the ancient world or the modern world, and then comes the difficult question, well, what does this mean? If you put someone in a tomb, and 3 days later, they're not there because, as eyewitnesses report, he is risen. What does that mean? It means, first of all, that that box that you talked about, I call it the box, the sort of reality is what I can see, measure, is within my frame of experience, that that box has been broken. Something has happened to break the horizon. Something has happened to, as it were, lift the lid of it, and it's no longer a sealed box like that. Reality has somehow crashed into our time-space world, our world of gravity and people and time, and done something that doesn't fit in the box. Anything else? What does this mean? Many people conclude that. So, in the light of this, people read the Old Testament, especially Isaiah and Jeremiah, and basically they said, gosh, this was coming. Now that we know what it's talking about, it was coming. But they didn't see that beforehand in the same way. Okay, here's another thing that means. It means everything that Jesus said and did is authentic, is trustworthy. Now, there are plenty of people who tell a good story. Jesus told great stories. There are plenty of people who have beautiful values. beautiful values. There are plenty of people who are inspirational. History records them, but they all have graves. And they're all in their grave. And their words are on pieces of paper. There's only one who's not in his grave. So what does that do? What does that mean in terms of all the things he said? It puts them in a totally different place. They're not in the same category. So we have someone who is alive in some way, whose words and teachings and claims are recorded. And so many people, and I preach this with all my heart, suggest listen to him. Listen to him. Take his words seriously. They're not the words of a dead poet. They're not the words of a once great prophet. They are the words of someone who lived and died, and God was pleased to raise him. There's no one else like this. No one comes into faintest comparison. So listen to him and trust him. The graves of the others, where they can be found, are still there with the bones inside. And within what Jesus spoke about, the resurrection in particular, he used that word, anastasis in Greek, but like so many words he used, what is he talking about? What does he mean? Well, he demonstrated what he meant, and he established it as a reality. And it can become part of our reality. How many people here have been baptized? With a capital B. Okay. When you get baptized, the logic of it is to say, I know this reality I live in. I know myself. I know this body. I know this life. I want to leave it behind because I want to share in this one. It's a deep mystical transition. It's all about the resurrection. The grave is not the ultimate box. It is not the containment of all that is and what we are meant to be. It is not about pie in the sky when we die, to put it crudely, heaven somewhere just in the future. It is about participating in a mode of human life here and now. A new way of being human has begun. Jesus is the pioneer, the new Adam. And it starts not with theology, not with metaphysics, not with spiritual speculation, not with navel gazing, not with someone's bright idea. It starts with a group of women coming to a tomb and finding it's empty. He's not there. It's so simple. It's so simple. And that is the essence of what we're able to celebrate today and model with this piece of slab of stone here. Okay, something to talk about over Easter dinner and beyond. Do you want to pray? Let's pray. pray that the truth of what has been spoken about rings and resonates for everyone here today.